This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here is Bill Brooks, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us today for Family Policy Matters. We are pleased to have Royce Dunn on the program with us this week. Royce is the founder and national director of LifeChain and president of Please Let Me Live. He is with us to discuss LifeChain Sunday, a nationwide pro-life event that is scheduled for October 3rd, 2010. Royce, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a privilege to be with you and your audience, Bill. It truly is.
This is the 23rd year of LifeChain Sunday. What is the purpose of LifeChain Sunday, and what is this event all about?
Well, Bill, the purpose of LifeChain in year 23 is the same as it was back in 1987 when we built our first LifeChain locally. And we've always said that the LifeChain was a call to the local church. And the first duty of the LifeChain is to minister to us, the church. Only if we're willing to receive the ministry that God has for us, will He empower us to witness publicly to those who see us and who see the signs that we hold. So it's just critically important that those of us who participate in LifeChain not regard it as chiefly an outreach to the public. It does include that indeed, but 2 Chronicles 7:14 certainly has it right. If my people who are called by my name, so only when we in the church come to grips with the killing of the unborn will there be serious hope of ending the Holocaust.
It's my understanding that the first LifeChain began in your hometown, as you said, back in 1987. Tell us about the history of LifeChain and why you started this annual pro-life gathering.
Well, back in 1985, the Lord led me into pro-life in a most unusual way. I tell folks that I did not find pro-life, that it found me. Somewhat like Apostle Paul found evangelism. He was not searching for it, was not dwelling on it, had no passion for it. So I had a similar experience that time will not permit in this interview, but I found myself in pro-life. And two questions immediately confronted me. The first was, how in the world could this have come to be, that there would come a time in the history of our nation when our government would decide that it would be in the best interest of our culture if parents who did not want their children were permitted to hire a fellow citizen to kill them, provided they were killed before birth? And my mind just focused on that, and I'd never really dwelt on that before. But a second question really overrode that one. Simply, how in the world can those of us in the church be so casual about this? But going back to 1987, our little organization, seven laymen, founded a little organization we called Please Let Me Live back in 1985 for the purpose of standing against six local abortionists. One morning while I was showering, God graced to me the idea of just asking our fellow Christians to come to a local sidewalk, to a designated area on our local sidewalks, and hold a sign and to pray for an hour. And we decided to do that, and it had an enormous impact. That was in 1987. The paper estimated 2,500 people, about 2,300 signs were handed out, and it truly was a very, very meaningful event locally. We had no idea that other locales would want to have a LifeChain, but they did, and so it just began spreading through grassroots and, of course, built to the national LifeChain that eventually came about. And we always give strong credit to Focus on the Family as being instrumental in helping spread the Life Chain. And then, of course, various other national ministries. The American Life League was very instrumental. Dr. Kennedy down in Fort Lauderdale, Moody Bible Church in Chicago, and their radio network certainly were major participants and did far more than we did in terms of promoting the spread of the Life Chain.
Why does the Life Chain focus on prayer as opposed to protesting or picketing?
Life Chain does focus on prayer because we realize that without it, we truly are helpless because we so desperately need the Lord. But Life Chain has become increasingly mindful that God may have been gravely disappointed with the prayers of his sons and daughters in the Western world, the traditional seat of Christendom, during recent decades. I sometimes ask myself if he has not found our prayers noxious. There's been much praying, since 1967, when Colorado first legalized abortion, 43 years ago. But there's been no substantial reduction in the killing. Very, very few of us have ever been to a local Auschwitz or have ever been willing to drive maybe 50 miles away if there's not one local. What percentage of us in the church have ever been to an abortion clinic? How many of us have ever offered literature to a woman, ask her if entering a clinic, ask her if we could somehow help her, be her friend, help her through the pregnancy, whereby she would be willing to not enter that door where two humans go in and only one comes out? So in 2010, we're just all the more mindful that God is interested only in truly repentant prayer, and we just must come to grips with how we should pray if we hope to see an end to the Holocaust on our land. So prayer is important, but how we pray is what is of most concern.
You have described Life Chain as a, quote, serious first step to pro-life activism. Explain what you mean by that.
We mean that Life Chain is truly just that. It is just a first step. It is really difficult to sustain strength of Life Chain in city after city. People are inclined to come out to the first Life Chain in substantial numbers, but having been there, done that, it's more difficult to get them out the next time. In actuality, Life Chain is a serious step because it does require us to stand publicly. The folks back at the office may see us. I remember how difficult it was for me to attend my first prayer vigil publicly, where I was a reasonably prominent local businessman. So I can relate to that. So it is a serious first step, but it is only a first step. There is so very, very much more that we need to do, and I'm confident in our discussion here we will get more deeply into what we do need to do. But that's what we mean when we say that it's a serious first step.
The Life Chain manual describes the event as church-oriented and pastor-focused. Explain what you mean by that and the reasoning for this focus.
That has always been the stated focus of the Life Chain, church-oriented and pastor-focused. Referring again to 2 Chronicles 7:14, that is, this year by year takes on more and more meaning to me personally. God so has it right, that verse so has it right. And we often read that verse, we speak that verse, we preach that verse, but how reluctant we are to be obedient to that verse. The great need in America today, if our culture is to be spared and restored, is not for liberalism to disappear. It is not for those that we most often criticize, those that we regard as the enemies of Christianity to improve upon their behavior. It is not what they are doing that is collapsing our culture and that is so weakening the church. It is what we, the sons and daughters of Christ, are not doing. And Satan is no doubt very, very pleased as long as we would dwell upon what others are doing rather than on what we are not doing. So in that regard, the life chain certainly believes that the emphasis must be on the church. We must look within ourselves, and only the church can lead our culture and save our culture. Government will always be a follower, however unwittingly. The church will always be a leader, however unknowingly. The church will either lead with wisdom and mercy and justice and righteousness, or with apathy, indifference, and neglect. In order for the church to fulfill its mission, it must have leadership, and God has established that leadership. Thus, Life Chain is church-oriented and pastor-focused. Pro-life leaders are saying today, in greater and greater unison, that unless we are able to activate the pulpits of our nation, we do not foresee an end to legalized abortion. The watchmen, the clergy who have the skills, who have the opportunity, who have the access that they do, they're so desperately needed. And while we have a few hundred thousand, quote, pro-life pastors, very rare is a city in America or Canada that has a pastoral voice likened to a Niemöller or a Bonhoeffer of the Confessing Church in Germany, who are willing to consider preaching a dangerous profession. And so pro-life today is just really crying out to the clergy, please join the battle. Please awaken to the reality that only you can provide the leadership necessary if we are to see hope arise for our culture and for the killing to end.
You ask participants to hold signs with specific pro-life messages, but no pictures. Give us some examples of the messages on the signs, and why no pictures?
Regarding the pictures, we would very much like to have the pictures. It's just that we have always tried to keep costs down. As for the messages, we have 7 approved signs. We believe one saves more lives than all of the others combined, and that's our initial sign, our flagship sign, the one that I believe God graced to me during the few seconds and he took to just plant the concept of Life Chain in my mind and spirit in 1987, that abortion kills children. The second sign we introduced was Jesus forgives and heals. Certainly, God forgives women and fathers who take their child to be killed. We've added other signs through the years. A sign of repentance, Lord, forgive us and our nation. Pray to end abortion. Life, the first inalienable right. Adoption, the loving option. Those, of course, are other messages. And would also welcome from your listeners recommendations. They have. We always consider any suggestion.
Where can our listeners go to find out more information about Life Chain Sunday, particularly the events planned for North Carolina?
They should go to lifechain.net.
We're out of time for this week. Royce Dunn, thanks so much for being with us today and for the work you're doing to protect the sanctity of human life.
It's been a real joy to be with you.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-919-919. 877-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.